So taken together, what do these laws mean clinically? Well, so sort of walking through the workflow here, if a patient presents and either desires a termination or her condition dictates that termination is an option, step number one is to check for fetal cardiac activity. This is required, and it's got to be documented under both Senate Bill 4 and Senate Bill 8. If there's not fetal cardiac activity, then it's okay to proceed with the procedure under both Senate Bill 4 and Senate Bill 8. Effectively, the procedure is not an abortion at that point. If there is fetal cardiac activity, our reading of Senate Bill 4 and 8 put together, is the next question you've got to ask is whether a maternal medical emergency is present. And the statute defines that as a condition that that is life-threatening or risks substantial impairment of a major bodily function and makes an abortion necessary for treatment. So if there's fetal cardiac activity and the patient is more than 49 days since their last menstrual period, Senate Bill 4 also governs the use of abortion-inducing drugs. Here's where we circle back to what that term means. The statute defines abortion-inducing drugs as drugs administered with the intent of terminating a pregnancy with knowledge that the termination will, with reasonable likelihood, cause the death of the woman's unborn child for the purpose of inducing an abortion. And it specifically names, as I mentioned, misoprostol, which is widely used in the clinical context to induce delivery for a number of reasons, but including in response to a maternal health condition. The definition of abortion here is sort of the general definition of abortion in section 245.002 of the Health and Safety Code, which is a procedure that ends a pregnancy with the intent to cause the death of an unborn child of a woman known to be pregnant. It's also relevant here in figuring out how Senate Bill 4 impacts these scenarios, that the definition of abortion-inducing drug in Senate Bill 4 specifically excludes drugs that may be known to cause an abortion but that are prescribed or administered for other medical reasons. So if we try to tie this all together, I think a responsible reading of Senate Bill 4 and Senate Bill 8 put together is that in the event a what would otherwise be termed an abortion-inducing drug is prescribed to treat a maternal medical emergency that meets that definition for Senate Bill 8 purposes, then the use of something like misoprostol to induce delivery, even if the death of the unborn child is a known potential side effect, is permissible under both Senate Bill 4 and Senate Bill 8. So here's kind of how this has worked out. And I mentioned earlier that Parkland has a very busy OB service. We last year delivered 11,449 live babies, which is more than the District of Columbia, both Dakotas, and I think Missouri. I mean, it's like we'd be state number 11 if we were a state. So Senate Bill 4 and Senate Bill 8 have been a real fact of life within our OB service since they came into effect, just because of our volumes of OB patients are so high. A 1% pregnancy complication out there in the population is, you know, like potentially a room full of patients at Parkland. So there's one fact pattern where we have seen this issue arise on a somewhat regular basis, and that is with the previable premature rupture of membranes, the PPROM cases. Generally, what I'm told is when membranes rupture prior to viability, there's effectively two options. One is expectant management if mom is okay, but if mom is beginning to show signs of a uterine infection, which can proceed very quickly, then uterine evacuation is really the only definitive treatment at that point. And typically that's affected through the use of misoprostol, because if there's a uterine infection, so I'm told, surgical procedures are sort of not your first choice. So how do we square that with Senate Bill 4 and Senate Bill 8, where we've got a patient with a previable fetus who is very unlikely to survive an induction at that point, and a maternal patient whose condition is worsening? So in our situation, the analysis that we've done is that in that case, if we've got evidence that the mother's condition is worsening, Senate Bill 4 and Senate Bill 8 together, assuming all the other requirements of the statutes are met, would allow the induction to proceed. There's a little bit of an awkward argument here because of the lack of an express medical emergency exception in Senate Bill 4. We think that's the reading that's most consistent with the legislature's intent in light of sort of the overall abortion regulation scheme in Texas. Something to mention here also about the requirements of Senate Bill 4. It's a physician, not an APP, who must administer the prostaglandins. That was a operationally relevant fact for us. And the physician who administers the abortion-inducing drug has to schedule a follow-up visit within 14 days to ensure the patient's condition is stable.